Hey, this is Sean Clark from Horror's Hollow Grounds and the Thing with Two Heads, and you're listening to Horror Talk.
Last time we talked, you know, we did a little Halloween shit. Obviously, we want to switch it up here, talk about some TCM. I know you just made a purchase, you know, watch the video from David. Let's start, you know, I guess start out with that, man. How did that all come together, you know?
Are we already rolling?
No, but I was just shooting the shit, but yeah, I'll roll it right now. So yeah. We can roll it up. I'll edit it together later, brother. So, okay. You know, don't want to waste your time. I know you're a busy dude, man.
No waste of my time.
Hell of a purchase, man.
I didn't know David, didn't know of him, never met him. I just got a random message through Facebook showing me what he had and said, is this something you'd be interested in? Sorry.
No, you're good.
And sorry, I got a bunch of clients at a convention that's wrapping up right now, so I'm getting text a bunch of messages.
Yeah, you're the man.
You know, he said, look, I would rather sell them to somebody like yourself than have to deal with a prop, an auction house and all the fees and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, 100% interested.
Wow.
And that's literally how it happened. I mean, it completely took me by surprise. Wasn't the greatest timing for me financially, because
understandable. Yeah.
I had just bought a bunch of stuff like literally that month. And I was like, okay, you need to pump the brake, Sean. And then all of a sudden, oh shit. You know,
that's, that doesn't come around often, you know? So
yeah,
a hell of a purchase. Now, where did your, TCM collection first begin, man? Was this, I know you've been around all the actors and shit like that and stuff, but, going back in time, I mean, what was your first, major, you know, prop or purchase, man, as far as TCM goes?
I guess the first thing I bought was the chainsaw from Part Two. And that was my first franchise prop. Okay. And then like 2 years later, the chainsaw from Part Three.
No shit.
So, obviously the first one would be nice, but you know, it doesn't seem, there seems to be a lot of dispute if that really exists anymore or not. So.
There is, man. You know, I heard it's in junkyards. I've heard it's here. I've heard it's there, you know? Yeah, I wish, I wish the biggest thing I got, man, I told you, was that, Caroline Williams script from, TCM 2. You know, I bought that off, Roy, last year, and I'm actually first time I'm going to meet her and Bill Moseley. I'm going to a convention in Vernon, New York, and then they'll be there. And then a couple other ones, Cleveland, Ohio, and the one in Canada, I think I seen you at a couple of years ago, Frightmare in the Falls. I think they're heading back over there. But yeah, get to meet
them. Where are
them.
You based out of?
I'm in Buffalo, Niagara. So okay. Buffalo, so Niagara Falls, New York. Yeah, man, it's 30 minutes right over the border. Hop over, you know. Like I said, I can't remember who you were representing. You weren't there with Bam Margera, were you? I can't remember who.
No.
I don't know who
that weekend. I think it was like Devin Sawa.
Okay.
Keith David.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I just seen you scooting by, man. Holy fuck. That's Sean Clark right there. Are you kidding me?
I was telling Brett the same thing happened to me too. It's like crazy, you know, cause you were, I've told you in the past, you were the first person I ever ran into a convention and it was Frightmare 23. And I walk in and I was super overwhelmed. Cause you know, I had never been to a convention before. So you say, I see everybody that's around and I see you walk by and I pointed to you and you came over and walked up to me and, you know, we had a nice talk and I still thank you to that day. Cause you know, it broke the seal and everything was calm after that.
Oh, right on.
So this one, man, I got to do some more research, but, so I bought a collection from a dude named Rick Ballin. He was like one of the biggest TCM collectors ever. The guy had hundreds of Gunner's autographs and whatever. So I bought his lot after he passed away and came across this script here, right? It's a little weird. It says, you know, Gunner wrote Leatherface, crossed this out, blah, blah, blah. But I got a video footage, man, from back in the 90s, you know, and the Rick dude brought this there. And Marilyn Burns, man, she swears, she goes, this is one of the original scripts, the script from on site. And I, you know, I can't find nothing on it, man, nothing like that. It's the only footage I got. I got footage of Gunner crossing this out and saying it wasn't his script, but it was from the original set. So I have no idea what it is. It was in his collection. The one I bought from, you know, Roy with, it's got Kit Carson, Toby, and Caroline. That's her original script. And then I got a couple more, just, you know, TCM2 or TCM3D stuff. But other than that, that's my, you know, big heyday, I guess. So, Quinn, if you got any questions for him, bro, I know you got some shit lined up on your end. So whatever you want to ask him.
Oh, geez. You know, I was always curious, how did you get into the convention all-stars scene? You know, how did you go from attending conventions to managing all these great people? I've just always been curious for that.
Well, I've never heard that story. I've told it many times. I mean, it was completely by accident, really. I mean, I just, I was going to conventions, and then I ended up getting into journalism, and I was going to conventions to review them for websites, and then and doing like on-camera interviews and stuff for this upstart horror channel, which was called The Horror Channel, and it ended up never actually going beyond a website. It never took off, not because it wasn't a great idea, but it was because the guys that ran it just didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
But from that, we all split off and started dreadcentral.com, and that turned into something. But anyway, so I had been going to these conventions as an attendee and as a journalist, and got to know the promoters pretty well. At some point, I think when we had just finished doing the 25 Years of Terror documentary, and well, I had some experience booking celebrities for a convention, because I had put on the 25 Years of Terror convention in 2003 in Pasadena, and I was one of the people responsible for reaching out to the celebrities and saying, hey, would you want to come do this thing? So that was my first experience in booking celebrities. But as far as me kind of doing it outside of that, it happened a little bit after that. And I was interviewing it's just so funny, because it's like, I can't stand the guy now and he hates my guts. But Tony Moran, who was the 3 seconds Michael Myers in the original Halloween. So yeah. I was the first guy. I was the guy who found him. I created that monster, so to speak.
I'm sorry.
And I basically, you know, I remember I interviewed him. And that was going to be just an interview. And at the end of the interview, I had a couple Halloween posters with me. I obviously needed his autograph on them. And I said, hey, would you mind signing these for me? And he was like, wow, I've never signed a Halloween autograph before. And I'm like, come on. And he's like, seriously, this is the first autograph I've ever signed. I'm like, wow. And I said, you know what? As he's signing them, said, there's a lot of people that would want to get your autograph. And he's like, nah. And I said, yeah, seriously, would you ever consider doing a convention? He didn't seem interested, but I said, hey, look, a buddy of mine is putting on a convention in Van Nuys. It's local, so it's in California. I said, what would you think about just coming down, give it a shot? If you don't like it, go home. You know, you got nothing to lose. So he agreed to do it. I mean, within an hour, he was hitting me up going, dude, how can we do more of these? You know, he was eating it up, obviously. Obviously, he got the bug pretty quick. And it still has not gone away. So I said, yeah, dude, you know, there's lots of shows out there. He goes, well, how can I get into more? And I said, well, you know, there is this guy. There was one agent I knew about that was doing what I do. Yeah. And I really didn't know how it worked, but I knew that that's what he did for a living. And he was there. And I said, well, hey, see that guy over there? You know, this is what he does. He goes, well, can you talk to him for me? And I said, okay. So I went over and I said, hey, man, Tony Moran. This is his first show ever. You know, he's got a good line. You know, are you interested? He's looking for representation. And he just kind of looks over and he goes, was he in the movie for like 3 seconds? And I said, yeah. I go, yeah, but dude, he's the face of Michael Myers. That's a big deal to these fans. And he goes, nah, pass.
Wow.
And I go, really? And he goes, yeah, pass. I'm like, okay. So I'm hanging out with Tony some more. And Tony goes, oh, did you talk to that guy? And I said, yeah. And he goes, what'd he say? And I told him what he said. And he just goes, fuck that guy. Why don't you mad at me? And I go, I guess I could. And that's how it started.
Wow. Tony fucking Moran. I met him not too long ago. It's fucking hilarious.
Jeez.
No shit. What, I guess, who's your favorite, you know, still alive or not, who is your favorite TCM guy to hang out with, I guess, you know, out of the few that you may or the many that you've hung out with, who's a real cool one?
Who do I like the most out of everybody from those films?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably just who do you vibe with the best, I guess. Vibe, you know?
Bob Elmore was great. I mean, Bob was great. Mark Burnham's great.
Yeah, yeah, cool dude.
I mean, RA has always been a friend. I never worked with him, but we've known each other for 20 plus years.
Wow.
I mean, Bill Moseley is a great guy. I
can't wait to meet him, man, for sure. I've heard
same that. Here. Same here. I've
heard that. I mean, Caroline and I, although we've ended our working relationship, we've always been cool.
Right, right.
You know, that's the one thing that is a little tough about this business is you admire these people, and I'm not talking about her specifically, no, I'm talking right, just right. In general, you admire these people and then you end up working with them, and then sometimes business makes things absolutely not so, you know, like I parted ways with a client the other day over some total bullshit. And
business, yeah.
And it definitely has soured my feelings towards that individual for good.
Yeah.
And I may even call that person out publicly for it because it's some bullshit.
Okay. Yeah,
but you know, that's the problem is when you're dealing with somebody who has a fan base.
Yep.
And then you go at them, then their fans go at you and it turns into a thing.
A whole, yeah, I know shit.
But the reality is, you know what? Your heroes aren't all perfect. I hate to break
exactly. Nah, you exactly. You know, I've had right. experiences like that. I've been, you know, even when I was at Frightmare a few times, I've met some people that, you know, I just idolized on the screen. And yeah, it's just like, you know, I didn't get a good experience from them sometimes. Yeah.
Well,
and
you know what?
It's, yeah.
Not everybody's great. There's a lot
exactly.
of assholes. There's a lot of assholes in this business. I hate, you know, I mean, here's the thing. I, for the most part, have great relationships with all my clients, but are there people I work with I don't like? Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh,
and you know what? And they know it, and they probably don't like me either, but they also know when it comes to business, I'm the best at what I do.
You're fucking you right. Know? Yep.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. You know, I always heard, I never met him, man. I'd never shame him. I love his work, but I always heard John Carpenter is not too big of a people person these days. And,
you know, he's not. He and I, our relationship has gotten better.
Yeah, yeah.
Recent years, and he's kind of one of those guys that just he's a very sarcastic, dry person.
Right.
And he kind of, you know, he's grumpy. There's no doubt he's grumpy. But he's not an asshole. He's just grumpy and he's old sarcastic school, and
yeah.
And but no, I'm glad to say that he and I have finally kind of, because he's one of those guys that yeah, for years I thought he hated me.
Right.
But we've actually finally talked about it now, and that's not the case. So it's all good.
That's good. That's good.
No shit.
Yeah.
You know what? You're fucking nuts, man. I watched your video of you opening, you know, you brought all the shit back from David's house.
Stressed me out. Stressed me and David out, I'd say.
I sat on the you were sitting on the floor in that video, bro, opening that box. I'm like, holy fuck, dude.
Dude, that was 100% genuine too. I was gonna find out with everybody else on camera. I was nervous as hell, man. You should have seen how I was carrying that suitcase. I wasn't even letting it roll because it had a roller.
Yeah.
I was carrying it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So where was, did you ship the box back or did that go on the plane too?
No, that box was in
a hard shell
carry-on suitcase
that
I carried on the plane.
Fucking
my big fear was that TSA was going to want to check it.
Oh,
like that they were going to like...
When it went over, gunpowder.
Yeah.
Well, the gunpowder I put in my checked bag.
Okay, that's good.
So, but the carry-on, I was afraid that when it went through the X-ray, they were going to say bag check, and they would want to open it. Fuck. And that's when I was going to lose my shit.
Yeah. Holy fuck, man. Yeah, when you were opening that up. What, you got her all safe and sound, huh?
Yeah, not even a flake. I mean, I was very careful. And every time anybody went near the overhead, I was like...
Yeah, chill. Yeah, what are you doing?
Don't even move my bag, you know?
No shit. Yeah.
It's pure luck that you got it there completely safely, and I'm very happy that you did.
I just didn't want to make David drive it, man.
Yeah, I know. He offered to drive it directly to you.
But I was like, dude.
But that's a long trip. That's like a three-day trip.
3 days each way.
Holy fuck, man. Just get it there and fucking be done with it, you know?
But hey, that shows how much that David really cared about those pieces. He's a wonderful dude. He's just such a great friend. I'm actually visiting him on the 2nd because ever since he sold the pieces to you, me and a good buddy of mine, Ryan Strickland, you probably saw his pieces at the TCM booth for the last 2 years at Frightmare.
Okay.
Yeah, he makes his beautiful displays and he's a good friend of mine, but we've been slowly replacing David's collection with replicas.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I have the pouch right here that
wow.
I finished. Thank you.
That looks great.
That's crazy, bro.
Holy shit. How did you do that?
Well, I mean, looking closely.
What the
but
fuck?
This is I'm not 100% sure what the actual material was because Ed Neal, who played Hitchhiker, he says that he said, oh, well, Bob found some fox pelt at a thrift store. I call bullshit on that. I don't think it's fox at all. This is actually mink pelt. A buddy of mine, Sam Dunn, figured out that it could be mink. And it looks just about right.
But, I mean, that's not a dead animal, is it?
No, yeah, this is a dead animal. It's a pelt. It's a mink pelt. It's an actual pelt.
Huh.
You know, it's been tanned and all that. But, you know, I just, you know, distressed the hell out of it.
I mean, because it's crazy how much it looks like it.
Thank you so much. I mean, yeah, I've just, you know, I've been working on that. And I don't know if you remember the ears that David had at his place.
Yeah.
I made those ears for him. And, you know, which aren't too exciting, but, you know, it's something he really wanted to get done, you know, if the ears were still there. And I'm in the process of doing that. Me and Ryan are probably going to end up doing a sculpt for how it was today. I did a sculpt way back when I saw it the first time. And it's, you know, I took some comparison photos when I went over there. But, yeah, I mean, I did a test recently. I'll pull this down. It's on a thumbtack. Just seeing if I could get some of the color right. This is just on one of my latest killing masks. You know, it's really red, but I didn't finish the coloring. But I'm going to be doing the same process that I did on those ears. And I ended up actually hitting them with resin on the end. Make him like really firm, but it's gonna be exciting. You know, I'm excited to see how it's gonna be. You know, and I have no problem doing that for David. And he offered. He's like, "Oh, let me pay you." I'm like, "There's no need. You're a great friend, a wonderful friend to have, and I have absolutely no problem doing all this." It's like, you know, that pouch was a 2-hour project for me.
Fucking
wow, that's right.
16.
Thank you,
old, dude. It's fucking unbelievable.
I try. Thank you.
You gonna be selling any of those pouches?
The pouches? Yeah, I mean, well, here's the problem. Like, the mink pelts that I found look really, really good, but there's only like 4 of them left from the seller. So, yeah. I mean, I'm realistically, I should have just bought them all, and I'm probably gonna end up doing that after the podcast, you know, buying those. But I said that I was going to be doing them in waves. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do that because of, you know, how little are left. And it's just, it's so good looking, the pelt. No, so, shit. I mean, I don't know.
Sean, I know you're not in your collection room. You got any TCM shit laying around in there?
Or? I don't think so.
What do you got those chainsaws? Just on display or sitting around? Or
yeah. Yeah, they're up in my... my entertainment room upstairs.
Awesome. Yeah, you got them right under the window, right on that that table.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Fucking yeah. Unbelievable, man. You coming out this way anytime soon for conventions, or can't Frightmare in the Falls again, or any of that shit, man?
I don't think so.
No. All right.
Yeah. No, I don't have any plans to do Frightmear in the Falls this year. I mean, I have people coming, but I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do less shows that I mean, and delegate a little more just because the travel's killing me.
Oh, bro, I don't know how you do that shit. I'm driving 3 hours to that fucking nightmare in Cleveland. It's hosted by GalaxyCon. I guess they do pretty big ones. Yeah. It's their first one out there, though, in Cleveland. 3 hour yeah. drive, man. That's enough for me, bro.
I'm on the fence about that one. I've got a lot of people at that one.
Yeah, I knew you would, bro. There's mad guests going to that shit, dude. So
I'm considering going to that.
No shit.
I just haven't decided yet.
No.
My next one this weekend is Flashback weekend in Chicago. I'll be there.
Chicago. Okay.
You are all over the place. It's just insane.
Windy
you know.
City, man. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Oh, I just got back from Birmingham, England.
Jesus Christ.
That was a flight. That was many flights. Three flights.
I don't know how you do that shit, man. That shit's got to add up. Yeah, if you end up heading up to that Cleveland one, man, I'll reach out to you before and see if you're going or not. I'll have to shoot the shit out there. But, yeah, no, other than that, man, you got any plans? I know you probably just spent a fuck ton of money on what you bought, but do you have plans moving forward? If anything else TCM came up like that, would you, you know, probably hop on it? Are you big into the TCM franchise these days or, you know?
Yeah, I mean – Well, you know,
I mean,
now that I got those pieces, I'm obviously interested in maybe adding to it. But, you know, I mean, I've been offered chainsaws from 3D, from the remakes.
Just the, yeah.
And I mean, that's cool, but it's like.
Oh, I get it.
I mean, how many chainsaws can one person have, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I don't think you should get them from 3D because that movie was pointless, pretty much. You know, and I mean, it's good to stick with 74 because it's one of those franchises where the first one's really the only good one. Second one's fun.
Hey, TCM you know, two,
second one's
man.
Fun. But yeah, second one's fun, but it's, you know, the first one's a masterpiece. Come on.
I'm a big fan of 2 and 3, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I like 2. I'm big on 2, but, you know, just... 74, baby. I mean, I'm in the shrine right now. It's my livelihood.
I mean, come on. You have to admit that chainsaw from part 3 is beautiful.
Oh, my God, bro.
Absolutely, yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous in the film, but it's badass.
I can't believe that's. I mean, I when I first saw that thing, you know, I was just like, man, I'd love to own that someday. and you know, and the fact that I do is crazy, you know. So that's cool. And then, the part 2 chainsaw, that was just random. It just popped up in an auction and I was like, damn, that'd be kind of cool, you know?
Oh,
and then to have Bob come over to the house and like inspect it and like say, this is definitely the real one, you know? And he signed the bottom of it for me, which, you know, I was like, well, you know, I don't like to have props autographed, but I'll have them sign the bottom where you really can't see it. And it's on plastic and Sharpie, which you could take off like that.
Yeah.
But now, you know, especially with him passing, you know, I'm definitely never going to take that autograph off of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. I met him a couple years ago before I owned, you know, Caroline Script. You know, it is what it is, so can't get that one. But like I said, I get to see her and Bill, and like you said, Bill's a good dude from what I hear, so I'm excited, man.
I actually met Let me see if you can see these here. Hold on. At Bob's funeral, I was hanging out with Tom Morga, and Tom introduced me to Daniel Berenger. Do you know who he is?
Yeah. Okay. No shit.
Yeah. Really? And he's got, check out some, he sent me some amazing photos.
No, that's, fucking way, dude.
That's him. Oh, it's hard to see. That's him and Bob in costume. Because yeah. Dan was.
Yeah, yeah.
He doubled Bill. There you go.
Yeah. What the fuck? No shit.
And, yeah, so he sent me a bunch of pictures, and he's interested in doing conventions. Okay. So
wonderful.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Check out these pictures of Bob. Isn't that cool?
On. Yeah.
Let me see if I can. It sucks because I'm trying to get it. There we go.
There you go. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I always loved that look, too. It was great with the yellow apron and that mask. Guy, man.
Fuck. Yeah. Trying to get them. I mean, it was like, man, I wish I would have had these pictures when Bob was still alive because he could have used them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No shit.
Let's see. Hold on. I mean, he's got some great pictures in the makeup chair, getting his makeup done.
Dude.
Oh, that's great.
What the fuck? Yeah. dude, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, Bill loved that role so much. You know, he would have done anything to get that role. I'm happy that he got
Savini.
It.
What the fuck? Savini, dude, yes, sir. That's unbelievable.
And there's actually there's a bunch of pictures of him with Mosley, and both in full costume.
Dude, I can't wait to meet that fucker, man.
Let's see.
Fucking can't wait. I don't know what the fuck him and
isn't that cool?
Ah, dude, look how OG that is, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think fans would be interested in meeting him.
Oh yeah, dude.
Oh, there you go. How cool is that?
Holy fuck. Look at the top one, bro.
There we go.
No, yeah.
Reminds me of Brett. That kind of reminds me of the John Dugan pictures. Yeah. The progressive. Yeah.
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 John Dugan. That's a. Yeah.
He's an interesting character.
That's
a
guy
you
right there, man.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. What other big shit? So now you got the mask. You got all those props. You got two chainsaws. What other big shit you got laying around over there?
A lot.
What doesn't he have, Brett? What doesn't he have? That's a better
question. Okay, right here. Check this fucker out, dude. I found this at a fucking flea market, bro. 90s Blockbuster. It's fucking Bob, dude. Tell me this.
Oh, that's pretty rad.
Bro. Here, let me pull this out. Tell me this fucker. People don't have this, bro. This is
that's cool.
Dual-sided. Oh, dude, I seen this. I go, what do you want for it? Fucking guy wanted $800. I go, $800. I go, I'll give you $400. He goes, all right, cool. So I took it. I mean, dude, I've never seen it before, you know? I was like, this is fucking sick, man. Now if I can get him back there. Well, I guess we'll put Bob back.
You had it the other way.
Yeah, I know. Fuck it. I got
there
too much.
That way, yeah.
I got too much shit, man. Well, me talking. I know you got fucking 100 times more than me, but yeah.
I got to expand my collection. That's what I need to do. I mean... Yeah.
TCM there. You know, I got TCM here. I got fucking Rob Burns and all the two scripts I just pulled out. I got some Friday the 13th going on here. You know, bunch of shit, man. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Stuff everywhere, you know. Fucking. Yeah, you guys know how it goes. But nothing on your level, brother, sadly. We'll get there one day, hopefully.
Yeah, talking about collections though, Sean, I was talking to Brett and I was curious, like, what was like the first big prop purchase that you know that you like, you know, just couldn't stop looking at that was like, you know, kind of started the obsession?
Well, the first prop purchase was it was 1990. It was Fangoria Weekend of Horrors in LA. They used to do Sunday night at the end of the convention, they would do an auction. And a lot of the effects guys in town would donate things for the auction.
Wow.
That's great.
And it would go dirt cheap. My God, the stuff I saw auctioned off there that now, wish I could have bought. But one thing I bought, I was a big fan of Darkman. And they had a Liam Neeson skin mask of just him.
Yep.
The ball. And that was my first prop purchase. I think I got it for like $200.
Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. I Yeah, I remember seeing that in one of the collection videos, I think, when you did like a full house tour. That's sweet.
And it's still in amazing condition. I showed it to Tony Gardner and he was like, I can't believe how, he goes, it looks new. And I go, held up, man, you make good shit. I don't know. But I think the first big prop purchase was the Poltergeist clown. That was the, that was my big first score, I think.
Yeah. It's crazy how the color shifted on that. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I don't know. You probably remember the story about Universal donating the Halloween trilogy, the costumes from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Joseph Ferguson, the dude that ran into that, he's a close friend of mine. And me and my buddies, the second we saw that, we hopped on and tried to get all that we could, you know. And so I, you know, I got a pair of production coveralls and I was actually, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'd absolutely love to be wrong instead of just being delusional. I'm pretty sure that the police jacket I have, I was looking closely at little, you know, stitches and things. I believe it's Sartain's jacket from 2018. Hmm. Unless you know that it's like, if it's somewhere else.
That I don't know.
Okay. So there's a chance. I'm not crazy.
I'm not a big wardrobe guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Wardrobe's so difficult to display, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I have a shit ton of coveralls and wardrobe from Halloween's, like Rob Zombie's, you know, because I got all of Tyler's stuff. But
one of my favorite collection videos was that one, so thank you for making that.
No problem. But it's like, just, I mean, I have all that stuff packed up because I'd have to have custom mannequins made for all of
it. Absolutely.
Because Tyler's so big, he can't just put it on a regular mannequin, you know?
He's going to be there. Fucking, see, this is the weird one, bro. So this convention, it's like 3 hours from me. It's in Vernon, New York, which is in the middle of nowhere. But it's got Tyler Maines going, Caroline, and fucking Bill Moseley. Sci-Fi Horror Fest 2025.
Never even heard of it.
Dude, it's me either, bro. It's
Sounds really obscure.
It's just, yeah, it's at a casino. It's, like I said, they got Tyler Maine, Caroline, and Bill. And I'm like, why the fuck are you guys going there? You know, no clue either. Fucking.
They got booked.
Yeah, you know. So,
well, the one thing about those crappy shows is for the fans, they work out because you can sit there and talk with them for a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I say that all the time. And, you know, I wouldn't call the TCM 50th anniversary crappy because it's great, but there was not a big turnout. And that was just an absolute dream come true because we're at Hooper's, the restaurant, you know, the house. And, you know, I'm just sitting with all the cast and I was actually able to get really, you know, talking deep with all of them. And it got to the point I'm sitting at the table with the entire cast. I'm talking directly with Terry McMinn. I'm sharing a meal with Terry, with Jake Linton, a buddy of mine, and everybody else, you know, because everybody else that was there hadn't gotten over that hump that, you know, these are just people. So we were only like pretty much, they just kept coming up to us to socialize. That's so crazy. It was great. It was wonderful. And it was a wonderful time. And, you know, and, it's good. And it's a really great feeling to be remembered, you know, like when I was at Frightmare just this year, you know, the people that were there, Wayne and Daniel, you know, Daniel remembers the conversations that we were having and all that. And that's wonderful. It makes you feel like you're not just a grain of sand, you know. It's just, it's a really, really good feeling. And I love all them to death. They're all wonderful. And, I was really happy that I was able to go to the 50th because it was a great time.
Yeah. That sucks. I couldn't make that. I think I got one more for you, Sean, and then if Quinn's got anything else. My last one is, what's the longest fucking line you've ever seen for a celebrity at a convention? And I'll tell you mine real quick. Was this year at the Comic-Con, same place the Frightmare in the Falls is, Niagara Falls. Fucking Robert Englund, dude. This motherfucker's line was fucking... So I don't know if, you know, I'm just curious just for shits and giggles.
Bruce Campbell's was crazy at Frightmare. My God. You
know, craziest lines you've seen, man.
Craziest line I saw was Norman Reedus at Horror Hound Weekend. I think about 2014 or 15, like right at the height of Walking Dead period.
Yeah,
people waited, I was told, 13 hours to meet him, and he signed. The show ended at The show ended at 7 p.m. and he stayed to 1 a.m. signing for everybody.
You can respect that shit, man. Not everyone's like that, but
absolutely, yeah.
God damn.
That's crazy though. And I would expect that to be like at San Diego Comic-Con, something like, you know, that big. But I mean, Horror Hound Weekend, that makes sense because it's pretty big. But
yeah,
no, my God, kidding. Serious props to Norman. My God, stand for all those people. That's wonderful. Yeah. So many of these people, you know, they don't have any issue just, you know, dipping on that. But I'd probably say the only person that I met that was like a really great experience like that, that, you know, he deeply, deeply cared about the fans, is Matt Lillard.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He's another guy like that'll stay for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah, I absolutely loved him. And I mean, I had a really, really bad year that year. I had a terrible year. And meeting him was like therapeutic. You know, he just kept giving hugs and all that. And it was great. He was just a wonderful guy. You know, I even hate to say I shed some tears, a lot of tears, but I mean, yeah, he was a really great person. And, God, I'd love to meet him again, but yeah, Matt is somebody special. I will tell you that.
Yeah. He's definitely one of my favorite people to work with. And he's, you know, that's the thing, you know, you're not technically friends with everybody you work with, you know what I mean? Not that
yeah.
you dislike them. It's just that a lot of times it's just business, you know?
Yeah.
And he's somebody who's actually become a friend, like a real friend. So,
wonderful.
He's such a good dude. And I'm so happy for his sort of resurgence he's had lately, you know, like suddenly he's everywhere now. And like, and he deserves it. He's a good dude. And yeah. Skeet's the same way, but those two guys, I mean, they're just both genuine guys, and just what a pleasure to work with those guys. I mean, I'm very lucky. Yeah. I would be super depressed if I lost those guys. Like if something,
oh, happened, God,
you know, that's the one thing you worry about with your clients getting famous is as, you know, eventually you think they might get to the point where they're, yeah, I don't need to do conventions anymore. I don't have time. I don't, you know, I mean,
yeah, man,
you know, sure. Not to, I doubt we'll ever see her at another convention, but you know, Mikey Madison, she won the Academy Award. And I mean, I highly doubt I'll be booking her anywhere else, you know?
No, I yeah. get it, man. It's you know.
That's something I fear too. I just, you know, I worry about that. But I mean, that's totally respectable. And especially, you know, if they're gonna get to that fame, like they're gonna be winning Academy Awards, then you know, then you kind of have to worry about some, you know, more crazed fans at that point. So, yeah, it's self comfort, and you just it's you have to let it go. I mean, it sucks, but I mean, I wouldn't get mad at any of them. I mean, I don't think I'm going to be seeing Jamie at age 50. So, right.
Never know.
You know what, man? You got a hell of a fucking job besides all the traveling. <You know? laughs> And yo, I'm going to hold you to this, man. You better open a fucking museum one of these days, brother. I know you ain't got the time right now, but
don't do it,
that's
Sean.
The thing.
Don't
it's
do
like, it. It's a win. That's
I get it, bro. I get it. I get it.
I mean, it's you know, the thing that freaks me out the most is the security of everything. I mean, especially lately in this world we've been living in where, I mean, every day you're watching on the news of these smash and grabs and,
fuck,
and businesses getting broken into and
you're
you know,
not wrong, bro. No, you ain't wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and I mean, something else is, I mean, if you have, say you're doing a Planet Hollywood style thing, you right. have to worry about fires, you know, in the kitchen or, you know, there's so many things to worry about. I don't know if I can handle the stress.
I didn't think about it like that, man. No, you're not wrong. I mean,
yeah.
You know, what,
yeah.
Let me ask you this one. What's your game plan? Where's your collection going when you're gone, brother? What's, you know, what's after that? You know, is it designated to people, museum, family, you know, what's the Sean Clark legacy, man? What do you got in the back of your head? Or maybe you never thought about it, you know, just fuck it. We're here, we're gone, you know?
I mean, as of right now, it would just be my girlfriend. It would be, you know, right. You know,
not right now. You got another 50 years in the tank, brother. So
I ain't got that long.
75, but, something like that.
I just didn't know it was something you ever thought about. You know, I mean, this is
No, I think about it. And I'm sure, just like every collector, the minute I drop dead, the vultures are going to come out, you know. Exactly. As I saw it happen to a buddy of mine, there's this guy, I don't know if you knew this or heard of this guy. He was a big time collector. His name was Landon Lee.
Okay, I did not. Nope. Landon Lee. Okay.
If you're a chainsaw guy, there's so much signed stuff out there that's signed to Landon. See, that's signed by the whole cast.
Same with Rick.
I see it.
Yep. Huh? Same with the guy I got my collection from, Rick Balin.
Rick Balin.
Fucking dude, this guy, every cast member knew this guy. He's fucking at every convention. 500 autographs from each guy every time. He's got hung out with Gunner every day, you know, just everything. But same aspect, you know. Just
that
more
sounds
more
like this dude. This dude used to roll into a convention with tubs. Yeah, and I'm not kidding you. He would get like 20 things from each celebrity. Yeah. I mean, he was. Oof. It got to the point where we started setting up private signings for him after the show because he was holding the lines up.
Dude, that, jeez. You know, same guy here, but Rick was. We're talking like late 90s, early 2000s convent, you know, that era with Jim and, you know, Mary, all them, like, but same thing here, Gunner, 20 things here, you know, and that back then in these videos I got, man, this footage from like the earlier, you know, late 90s, it's like four items for $20. I go, you know, fuck, I wish, you know, where'd those prices go? You know what I mean? So,
he ended up, he had, I mean, dude, obscene amount of stuff. Like literally, I think it was something like 18 storage units full of stuff.
Fuck, man.
God, and, that's crazy.
Landon Lee.
Landon Lee was his name. There, if you go to Scarefest in Kentucky or Lexington Comic Con, because that's the area he was in, there's a particular vendor there that has the bulk of his collection, and you'll see crazy rare signed stuff. He's got, there's so much of it, it's just gonna last forever. But anyway, super good dude. He was a close friend. He owned a haunted attraction in Nashville. Anyway, he just dropped dead during COVID, a heart attack.
Fuck,
that's horrible.
A couple different guys, I'm not going to say who they were, knew him, swooped in and basically offered pennies on the dollar for his stuff.
Every time, and, bro. Every time, yeah. Fuckers. Yeah. Every time. That's unbelievable, man.
But I'm doing my best to start cataloging everything I have and what it's worth and everything. That's an undertaking.
I built the TCM fan club, right? It's a website. It's got every bit of fucking TCM information, photo, everything you could ever imagine. We got a forum on there and shit, but I built an item database, man, and just same shit you want to do with yours. We put thousands and thousands of items on there of who owns them, you know, this, that, boom, boom. It's fucking a lot of work, man. It took me months to build that fucking site, bro. You know, but,
he put his heart and soul into that thing. I was there along the ride.
Every bit of TCM information, photos, footage from the night, everything you could think of, man. So, you know, all that shit. But try to archive shit, man. You know, I'll be gone one day. You'll be gone. He'll be gone. You know, just try to archive the shit for the younger generation and hope another 50 years goes by and they have the love for the shit like we did, man. That's it. So, you know. I don't know. But go ahead.
I just had a brain fart. The guy who owned the pretty woman face or the pretty woman mask. He reached out.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to suggest that because he's got a crazy collection, but really unfortunately, like
we were trying.
He's one of those really private collectors. You know, like he doesn't even take pictures of his things. The only pictures he has of the pretty woman are the ones he took like 20 years ago. And
I think that might be what he sent me. I asked him to send me some photos.
So did Quinn.
Yeah, it's like the God, it's like right What's up in name? There. It's like this. Yeah. I don't remember the dude's name. It's like House of Horrors on Instagram, something like that.
Because we're wondering
but he if has,
he's still got the fucking mask or not, because he keeps sending yeah, photos, like, man.
It's weird. And I ask him, he's like, oh, it's packed away somewhere. I'm like, well, that's not something to do an incredibly fragile mask. Yeah. Like, these things are paper thin. And but, I mean, he's got a crazy collection. He's got the arm lamp that was in the bone room. He's got Gunner's apron. I think he has one of the sledgehammers, and he's got the friggin' Pretty Woman mask. And the dude, like, you do not own these just incredible consequential things and
hide them,
just shove them. Yeah.
Was there more than one sledgehammer?
Well, I mean, they had the hero one, that which was the actual one. They had, and then they had some, like, the grandpa hammer that you have that Bob yeah. made with pantyhose and latex.
But Leatherface is the one he hits Kirk with, because Kirk yeah. kept that. He kept that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just like, it makes me so angry that the dude, like, and he reached out to me. He asked me because I have a big catalog of behind the scenes photos and things. And he asked, oh, can I see some of the shots that you have of Pretty Woman behind the scenes? I'm like, okay, well, for a favor, if you could just send me some newer pictures of Pretty Woman. Mm-hmm. He was like, okay, I'll have to find it, meaning, like, I thought he meant, like, okay, I'll have to pull the Pretty Woman out of my underwear drawer that I've been storing her in for 30 years. And then he sends me the same pictures that he's had for 20 years. I'm like,
well, it's kind of like the guy who owns the Myers mask from
Yes.
I mean, we haven't seen a new photo of that thing in like 15 years.
That shit pisses me off, man. I don't
get
it.
Talking with a buddy when I was at the Harry Ransom Center. I was looking at the, which is actually a good kind of segue to get into that. But recently I was actually just yesterday I got back from Austin. I was going to Hooper's because a buddy of mine's going to college next year. So we were meeting up at Hooper's again. And just to do some repairs on the grandma that I brought there. And she's on display upstairs. And afterwards, after we were at Hooper's, we went to the Harry Ransom Center, which is on the property, the campus of UT Austin, which I plan on going to, hopefully. And we were looking at the Bob Burns test mask, because they have it there, which, say what you want about the other masks, that is the best preserved mask, because it hasn't tainted its color. And it's just kind of flattened a little bit, but I thought it looked flat from the original picture. It's got so much dimension. It's crazy. But we were talking to them about that. You know, we were bringing up that the Myers mask. It's just like, at this point, what is it? Is it a box of crumbs? Like, it's and the guy, I mean, didn't he? I remember my buddy Jay was saying something like, he put it in his haunt that he had on his property. He's like, oh, yeah, I put it on a mannequin. And Jesus Christ, it's just.
I never understood, I understand private, like, I don't post all my shit, like, heavily. I post shit here and there on Instagram. I don't promote it like that, but just to keep something so, such, you know, monument, like, just something like that, just put away, man. I don't, you know, spread it with the world, show it off, you know. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Fuck,
I'm trying to not only preserve the stuff, but I'm trying to also document it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And because he, you know, it's crazy, these things get bought by some of these collectors and then they just disappear forever. They go into a black hole, and until they drop dead, you never hear about them again, you know.
it's terrible.
And there's been a lot of props like that, you know. There's stuff that people just don't even know what happened to, because that's somebody buys it and then hides it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the purpose of doing that, you know?
I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense. I mean, maybe they got so much money that they just don't give a fuck. I mean,
there is that, you know, but even guys like Kirk Hammett, you know, he at least did a book on his collection, you know? I mean, he's sharing it. He took stuff to the Orion Fest and displayed it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I mean, Sean, I think you summed it up perfectly in the video with David, which I really wish I could have made it there. I broke out with hives during the convention. I was an absolute mess. I was a mess. I had it on my palms. But you said these things, they don't belong to us. We're just holding them. And you know, that's a response. Yeah. Exactly. And I just really wish other people would have that philosophy. And I was telling, you know, when we were, I was in the line for James A. Janisse, you know, and I was saying, oh, hey, Sean, and, you know, he's saying, oh, I don't know if you, if David told you I'm buying everything, which I thought it was a joke. But, yeah. You know, I was immediately after, and I was talking to David later that day, and I just said, I'm really, really happy that it's going to Sean because he is the best person that it could have possibly gone to.
For sure.
He didn't. Yeah. I mean, it was tough for him, man. There's no doubt.
He's still upset to this day. And, you know, it breaks my heart, but I mean, it was a really big decision. I'm glad he made it.
And I think the worst part about it is when you sell something like that, you know, obviously it's one of those things where it's taking care of something, but then as that money gets spent and it starts to go away, then there's an emptiness that sets in.
Yeah,
man. You know, and believe me, I've been there. I've had it happen to me. I've sold things I regretted.
That's why we're doing this, man, because he's got a big empty spot in his living room now where the convention, where the entire collection was. But David is just, oh God, he's wonderful. He's happy. He loves to laugh. He's a good buddy.
Super good dude. Super good.
He's great. Yeah, he's a great dad too. He's just goofy. He's just fun.
I thought the video turned out great.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is when I finished it, I was like worried that like he comes off so sad. I feel like I come off like the villain, you know, taking advantage of this guy in need. You know, I was like, oh man.
You were close to it because what you didn't do is you didn't put a picture of David crying on the thumbnail. Right. So
like you said, bro, that shit couldn't have went to anybody better, man. You know, it's
absolutely it's
end of the day.
Storybook, you know, it's the best way that it could have gone. And I'm super happy it went to you. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, at least we know where the fuck it is, you know. So
yeah.
Well, let me ask is when's this gonna air?
Whenever you want. How about that?
Well, I mean, when were you planning on
probably edit it up a couple days.
Okay. All right, so I'll just go ahead and say, because I'm dropping a new collection video tomorrow morning.
Oh yeah, you're yeah.
But it's different. It's different. It's not props. But it's I just bought David Lynch's drum set.
Get the fuck out of here. Are you shitting me?
What? No. Holy so God. He had an auction. All his belongings. And I went in there, you know, hoping there was going to be some props, and there wasn't. It was more of his personal stuff. And he had a whole recording studio full of equipment. And I'm a drummer, and I've been looking to buy a new drum set, and the drum set I've been looking to get was a DW kit.
Yep.
And so I'm looking through this thing, and he has this badass DW kit. Wow. And it's got a ton of extra shit with it. And I'm looking at this going, man, this is like $20,000 worth of drum equipment. I bet you nobody knows A, what it's worth.
Yeah.
And B, are going to consider buying a huge ass drum set.
No.
I ended up getting it all after fees and all the bullshit, tax and everything, $8,000.
Wow, what a fuck, dude.
That's great. I mean,
fuck yeah. Dude.
That auction was so bizarre. I will tell you that, because I was looking on the website. They were auctioning off his Oreos, like just everything.
Yeah,
I mean, I almost bought one because that would have been funny as hell. Money, get a little.
Here's the thing: there's so much extra drum shit that I'm definitely going to be selling. If anybody wants to, buy a David Lynch used drum head or drumsticks, I've got plenty. Because there was a stack of used drum heads.
Bro.
Okay. Shit, I can take all the drum heads off of the drum set and replace them with new ones and sell those as used David Lynch drum heads, you know?
Shit, for sure, bro.
Oh, Jesus. That's wild.
Yeah, no.
Maybe get some of my money back, you know?
Yeah, fuck yeah. I'll be a couple days with this episode, but what are you dropping, you said, tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, and then the one I've been sitting on that a lot of people don't even know. I think I told you that I got it, Quinn. I think I told you. But I've been waiting to drop this because I'm having a custom like case and stand made for it, and I'm waiting to get that back so I can do a full from purchase to display video.
Oh, sweet Jesus, I forgot what it was, but I remember you saying that.
Well, this was the thing. I had literally just bought the week that the chainsaw thing came to me. As I got the Necronomicon from the first Evil Dead.
Yeah, I remember it now. Yeah.
This fucking guy.
That's badass. That's great.
Unbelievable.
So that was, I think that ended up being the most expensive thing I've ever bought.
The Necronomicon?
Wow.
Yeah. That was more than what I just paid David for all those props.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know any numbers, and I'm not going to ask, but I know, but again, that David got a good sale for that collection.
The 28% buyer or sell or buyer's fee, that's tax. That's all those fees combined. And it was very close to what I paid David. Very close.
Wow.
Like, just a hair over.
Unbelievable.
Jeez.
I picked that up, and I also got half of the Meteor from Creepshow, from the Stephen King segment.
Yeah. That's crazy. Sweet. You know what's random as fuck, dude? So that Rick dude had this William Castle autograph sitting in his collection.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah, no, right? I'm like, I gotta grab this, man. Just something random. Not a lot of people know who that is, but, But yeah, man, like I said, bro, I appreciate your time shooting the shit. We'll have to get you on here again in another 6 months to a year or something, or, you know, whatever. But I'll definitely reach out, bro, see if you're going to be out at that Nightmare in Cleveland. If so, you know.
I might. There's a chance.
I
got to look at the dates again.
What is it? Fucking August 29th, 30th, 31st.
Yeah, it's coming up soon, so I got to make my mind up.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be fucking huge, man. There's a lot of celebs there, bro. So, you know.
It's going to be good. It's a great lineup.
Never, like I
and
said.
They, and those guys put on, I don't know if you've ever been to any of the GalaxyCon shows. They put on an amazing show. Like the one I was getting texts from is their GalaxyCon Rally, North Carolina show that's happening right now. That one's just wrapping up. So I'm getting reports. So.
Hey, speaking of conventions, though, I mean, I'm only where I am. The closest one is Irving. So, you know, I have to go to Frightmare pretty much, you know, to do anything. And, but, you know, I'll be going to H50. But, you know, your best friends with Chris Nelson, is he ever going to be coming down to Texas? Because, Jesus Christ, I'd love to meet him again.
You know what? Hopefully, I was real close to convincing Lloyd to take him last year, so hopefully we can get him there next year.
Yeah, I mean, he was.
I brought him to Houston Horror Film Fest. I think maybe he did that. I think he did Houston a couple of years.
Maybe ago. I don't know. I mean, I'm about probably 5 or 6 hours from Houston. So I mean,
that's Irving's a good show too. You should check that.
I thought about it, but you know, it's just the driving distance, and I should look at it again. That's next month.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I mean, hopefully if the wedding doesn't, that I'm going to back in California, if that doesn't line up, then maybe I'll go. But
whose wedding?
Yeah. Oh, cousin of mine. She's, cousin of mine's getting married, and then we're going to be going back to California for that. Geez. I don't remember. I remember the, I think it's in San Jose, like the hills of San Jose. I'm from that area. I was born in Bay Area.
Far from me. That's like 6 hours from me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're in Orange, right?
I'm in Orange County, yeah.
Orange County, okay.
I've never been out there, bro. I'm stuck.
I'm about 25 minutes from Orange, but Orange is a city in Orange County.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm from where I'm from. I was born and raised in Bay Area, California. Born in Walnut Creek, and then grew up in Martinez, which where Joe DiMaggio's from.
In San Jose in a couple weeks.
Sweet.
I'm going to be in San. It'd be funny if it was the same time you're going to be there.
That'd be badass.
August 15th to the 17th, GalaxyCon San Jose.
Damn it, Sean. That's exactly when I'm going to be there.
And Matthew Lillard's going to be there.
You fucking.
Oh, jeez. You might set me up to do something.
This sucks.
Come on by. I'll get you in. I'll hook you up.
Oh, jeez. This fucking sucks, man. I'm stuck here in Buffalo and shit. The cold and fucking.
You're in Buffalo, Brett, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm in the boonies of Texas.
Okay, I got to ask you, Brett. Are you a Bills fan?
Come on, brother. What are you fucking. What? Die hard fucking Bills fan, buddy. All day. Come on, man. Come on. What are you shitting me? Fucking, we live for that shit, buddy. Got some good. Listen, I don't know how often you come to Buffalo, but I'll tell you what, you ain't never going to find a better pie or a better pizza or a better wings than fucking Buffalo, New York.
Hey, right? I'll give you the pizza, but I hate your football team.
Hey, we're all.
I'm a lifelong Dolphins fan, so you know we're nemesis.
I see you got
the. Jeez, we're setting
up. I can
we're
at least admit you got a better team right now.
Hey,
so.
We're trying, man. You know, we
Brett,
always, next year, man. Every year, next year.
Brett, I feel like Sean's setting up the next podcast to you know argue about sports with you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no shit. No, yeah,
hey,
man.
At least my fucking
this
basketball
guy,
team finally won.
I'm fucking sick. That's bullshit.
Yeah, I remember that pictures from you being on camera, you know, just shaking your head to the team.
Oh, that was last year.
Yeah.
During Texas Frightmare, I went to the game in Dallas.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite?
I was front row, man.
Who's your favorite basketball player of all time?
Gary Payton.
Larry Bird, baby. Larry fucking Bird. Oh, yeah. Nah, both.
I like
both.
Larry Bird, but Gary Payton was.
Hey,
I'm a. As a player, because I played basketball, I was my whole thing was defense, and he was the glove man.
I
loved the way when he locked somebody down.
I'll give you that, man.
And he was cocky as fuck, and he was a shit talker. And my favorite thing was when somebody would come up the court, Gary Payton would do this thing. He'd go like this. And he'd just get in this stance, man, and he would get that look. He'd go, he'd get this. And man, that guy, I miss watching him play ball so bad.
I can give you know it's same thing with Bird, but on offense. You know, I'm gonna take you here. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna shoot the three. You know, shit. You know, talk shit, but backed it up, man. So these young kids don't appreciate the old school shit, man. Fucking A. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all I got, buddy. Like I said, I'll stay in touch and. Let you know when this airs, and definitely, like I said, if you make it to Cleveland, man, we'll shoot the shit out there for a little bit. If not, you know, no biggie. I'll catch you whenever you're out this way one of these days, or I'll come out there.
You're going
way,
to Cleveland,
man.
Go to fucking Horror Hound, man.
Yeah?
Next month, dude. That's the best show. That's Cincinnati Horror Hound. That is the show.
Hey, Brett, hey, before we finish up just yet, I would like to say some of my other findings that I got from the Ransom Center, because that was very interesting. Yeah, so... Geez, I mean, what's so crazy is nobody, like, I was talking to them, and not a lot of people have gone to see these things that they have there, and it's just so fascinating.
I want to go see this stuff.
Yeah, you should absolutely come by. I mean, it's in Austin, and they have three boxes of Tobe Hooper stuff, like just production material. Most of it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and I took lots of photos. I can't distribute them as, you know, as they said, which, you know, I'm not going to go against their word, but... I can certainly tell you what's in them. They're not in display. It's not a museum. It's an archive.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So you're not allowed to take pictures?
No, you can take pictures. So it's really weird. You can take pictures. You can touch everything without gloves, but you can't, like, probably not the stuff that was in the collection for Tobe Hooper, but the test mask, which I have a very terrible replica of right here. Test mask, you can't distribute the photos because it's since it's so delicate, it was put as a restricted item and you need curator approval to see it, which I got. So kind of whenever it's something, when it needs curator approval during, as per the rules, you also can't distribute without permission. But I took shit. I mean, me and Jay, we took like 150 pictures of it, 3D scans and everything.
Is this something? They let you do 3D scans?
Yeah. We did a 3D scan.
Yeah,
it was great.
That's insane. Yeah. You can't show photos of it, but 3D scan it. So you can fucking replicate
3D
it.
Scans. You can, take as
I
much
doubt
photos
they knew what they were
that.
Dealing with there.
You're fucking right.
It was, it's fine. But, I mean, they know I was a replica maker because I even said that in my first email. But, you know, it's just... It was great, but the stuff in the Hooper collection was mind-boggling, and it was so crazy. With me and my buddy Jay were there, I'm like, they don't care enough to put someone to stand right here to make sure I don't pocket this. Yeah. It's just like, it's all papers from production. Wow. You know, it was crazy, like the amount of trust. Yeah. I thought about it. You fucking know, I texted David right before. I'm like, I'm going to be honest, I'm stealing the test mask. It's like, go for it. But yeah, the Toby Hooper collection, they had all the notes and everything that was on there, like the things, all Wayne Bell's notes of what he needed to cut out from, like, you know, all the clapboards and the timestamps that he needed to cut out and or cover that up, sounds that I needed to put in, production scheduling. Yeah, they had the full production schedule. So now it's not like allegations or anything. You could look at that and see exactly where they filmed everything, plus or minus the day that they got stoned off their ass. But right. Oh, it was great. And they had all these sketches from Toby of the landscapes and layout of everything, and it was great, just everything. It was one of my favorite pieces that was there in the archives is actually two of my favorite pieces. They had a piece of paper with every single individual shot, like it was a to-do list for the dinner scene of the crazy bits, like when they're bashing the shit out of Marilyn's head. And right next to it was red lines, like, you know, when they got done with each shot. And it was so spastic, and you could tell they were just tired as hell because they were just trying to run through it as fast as they could. And on the back of one of the papers was, I have a very strong suspicion it was the day of the famous story where they got so high that they couldn't film. Because it was just these crude doodles.
Was that the edibles, the brownies, or was that
when? I think it probably was the brownie stories of when Jesus, I don't know who did it. I think maybe Wayne made them, but yeah, when they got so stoned that they couldn't do anything, and Gunner was sitting on the front porch wearing the killing mask, and the chair just saying "time has no meaning." Yeah. But
I'm really curious what happened to the stuff Toby owned.
You know what? Yeah, I don't know.
Because I had heard he had a lot of stuff, and he passed, and absolutely nothing has surfaced.
I would assume it's probably in the family's collection. Was it most likely?
He had a daughter or a niece, I believe. Or
he had a wife. She was the one who was living with him. And I heard some stories, not so good stories, about her.
Right.
But I expected
you would
that stuff to maybe come on market. Yeah. You know, I had asked him, because I don't know if you guys heard me tell the story about when I drove him home.
Nah, fuck.
So we were doing, I interviewed him. I was contacted, like, it was like the morning of, which is how it always seems to happen with Michael Felsher. He contacted me and said, "Hey, we're doing audio commentary for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D, and would you be willing to go down to the studio? And I don't need you to moderate it," because they would usually have me go down there and do the moderation during the audio commentary. But I believe it was the director of 3D and Toby were doing an audio commentary. And then after that, so I sat there and I just watched that, and then afterwards I did an on-camera interview with Toby. That was a bonus feature on that Blu-ray.
Yeah,
which I just thought was weird that he was even there, but I guess he was technically a producer. So
yeah, I think he was actually no, I think he was one of the co-writers.
I
don't know.
Toby. I think he was one of the co-writers for whatever reason, even though the movie's god awful.
Who was it? But, John, whatever that dude. Yeah, I got two of their scripts. I got his fucking autograph.
Yeah. Sorry not to interrupt, Sean. But...
So anyway, afterwards, I guess he had been dropped off, and Toby was like, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get back home.
Holy fuck.
And I said, dude, I'll drive you. So I ended up driving him home, and oddly enough, we got lost on the way home. Something happened with the GPS, fucked up, and it took us on a weird route, but I got to spend like an extra half an hour with him. But we just bullshitted in the car the whole way, and I dropped him. He was living in Sherman Oaks. I remember it was very close to where the Fast Times Mall used to be, the Sherman Oaks.
Yeah.
And I dropped him off at his house, and I had asked him about, because I had heard rumors that he owned, that he kept some of the Funhouse animatronics. And he said, because I know one of them appears in the music video for Dancing With Myself by Billy Idol that he directed.
Got a whole press kit, buddy.
And so I was, and he was telling me that he did have some, and I was really kind of like, hey, any chance I could see them? And I was really kind of pushing, and he wasn't biting.
Damn,
so I dropped him off at the house. And here's the crazy thing. So I dropped, and I told him what I did for a living and everything.
I
dropped him off the house. I go, oh, take care, Toby. I roll the windows up, and I start to back out of his driveway, and he knocks on my window, and I roll it down, and he goes, you know, if you ever have any of those conventions, you got my number, give me a call.
Wow. Like, okay.
So I tried multiple times to get him booked into conventions, and he kept like canceling, and then he passed away. I never got to book him.
That's fucking crazy. Funhouse.
Nice guy, though.
Yeah, I know that sucks, Sean, because I know you're such a big Funhouse fan, you know, and you got that beautiful, beautiful, you know, the prosthetic. And you did a great job having that displayed, I might say. Someone had to sculpt the bottom lip for it, right?
Because the bottom lip and the chin.
You're a big Funhouse.
And so they basically blended it in together for the, and they, I had them mold the teeth. So they put an extra set of teeth in there. So I have the real teeth separate. But you needed it for the display. Yeah.
Send me an
great
Instagram.
Job.
Shoot me your PO box, whatever. I'll ship this out to you. I ain't gonna do nothing with it. It's all the original press work. It was in that It was in that Rick dude's collection, bro. That told you anything.
Oh, really?
Bro, you don't understand, bro. This is a press information kit. This whole thing. It's got three packets in here. It's got the dude. It's got it all, bro. It's got 1981 fucking Sinop. Like, dude. Production notes, fucking everything, bro. It's fucking it's all that shit. So
it'll go to a good home.
Yeah, bro. No, I'm going nowhere with it. So I'll get it out your way, buddy.
I do have a question about you know, right now we're in that kind of an interesting point in Texas Chainsaw Massacre right now, because we're in the midst of a bidding war, you know, for the rights.
Yeah, man.
But is there any truth to the rumor that a new one is actually being made right now?
No. I completely shot that down because I'm like, bullshit. Because Glenn Powell, they're saying that Glenn Powell is connected to that. He's in the bidding war for the rights right now. He's not anywhere near pre-production. He can't even have the, you know, he doesn't have any position where he can be doing that right now. Yeah. But I mean, right now we have Taylor Sheridan from Yellowstone, Glenn Powell with A24. We have Osgood with Neon, and we have Jordan Peele with Monkey Paw. Now, who would you say that you would like to see in that position of calling the shots with what production company right now? Because personally, for me, I would think that Osgood, Perkins, and Jordan Peele are like the absolute best people to be making a sequel to Chainsaw or a reboot. I think it's absolutely
perfect.
Of those
four, my pick would be Osgood.
Yeah. I mean, Osgood, he's so interesting, you know, and I think he's been doing very interesting films recently. Absolutely loved Long Legs. I thought that was one of the most original movies I've seen in years.
I just feel like his sensibilities would be right for that franchise.
Yeah.
As much as I like Jordan Peele, I don't want to see it get urbanized.
Yeah, I mean, although what I do feel that Jordan would probably do is knowing that with his scripts he likes to have it as racial undertones, which I find actually very interesting in a narrative sense for the scripts. I find it very, very interesting.
Chainsaw is very fucking redneck white.
I think he would do would be take it back to kind of you know, probably 50s or 60s Texas. I think that he would be doing that, you know, when it was very harsh.
Yeah, but I just don't want another narrative in there.
I don't either, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested in seeing what he'd do, but you're asking me my choice of the four. Osgood Perkins would be my choice.
I don't think that's a bad decision at all. You know, I think that that's very interesting. And he's
I believe he's young and he's got the potential. I believe he is. I'm not 100% sure. Isn't he gay? I don't know personally, but and which I mean, quite frankly, works for
that subject matter, really.
Right. I mean, it does, you know. Yeah, I mean, because you know, Leatherface being basically,
and he was a crossdresser, right?
Yeah. Shit, I wish we had a fucking. I wish Rob Zombie got his hands on this shit about.
Yeah,
10,
dude,
10
I was gonna say. My God, you know, if he was given the reboot, the 2003 reboot instead of whoever the hell it was given to, I mean, I'm not going to shit on 2003. I think it was a very, very interesting approach, and it was very good for the time because it was disturbing in that period's context as it was disturbing in 74.
Maybe
I think that they did good with that.
Maybe he's not.
I don't know. Oh no, he's not. My bad.
Okay, he's not.
Right. No,
was off record. You know.
Whatever. Oh jeez.
Cut that part out.
Yeah.
I don't want. Please cut that part out.
Yeah, we got you.
All right, real quick. Osgood Perkins, I think would be great for it.
Yeah.
My favorite straight director.
But Rob Zombie. That would be interesting as
you know,
shit.
Rob Zombie's already made his chainsaw.
House of a Thousand Corpses. That was it.
Yeah,
you know, I think that a lot, but you know, in the alternate reality that never happened or whatever, I think that would be very, very interesting to do.
And to be honest with you, I don't know if Rob Zombie would dare do any type of remake at this point. I think every time he does one, he just gets destroyed for it in one way or another.
I mean, all right, listen. Halloween 2000.
Why? It's such bullshit.
Listen, 2007. I fuck with it. You know, it's a different approach. It's a Rob Zombie film. You go into it knowing Halloween 2, 2009. Out of the world, bro. It's my least favorite by far. I won't shit talk.
Well, I mean, with that, he got to do whatever he wanted, right,
yeah,
Sean? I mean, that's what they Malick said to him.
Yeah,
he's like, you know, for you can do whatever you want with that sequel.
Why make a second one though? I don't know. You know, I mean, I get it.
He didn't want to. You know, they said, well, we want you to.
I'm not getting into. Are they bad? I mean, I enjoy them, but I love them all. He dealt with so much criticism.
Yeah.
Halloween fans are the worst.
Are they?
When
it comes to bitching about
most
stuff,
toxic.
And then you know he does the Munsters, and everybody destroyed him over that. Which I actually thought it was kind of a fun movie, but whatever.
It was, yeah, it was really fun. And I don't know what you expect from it.
What do you expect from the fucking Munsters? I mean, really, what are you expecting?
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, never going to make anybody happy with that shit. So.
Yeah, well, 2007. Yeah, I mean, with my experience, I mean, I didn't want to watch it for a long time when I was younger I was just a little shitty kid. And then I ended up watching it. I'm like, holy shit, this is really, really good.
Bro,
I thought it was great.
It was a good film, bro. It was a good film.
I think it's, if for me, it's top three
it's a Rob
in the entire
Zombie film. You
well,
know,
don't get crazy. Don't get crazy.
Yeah, he thought it was fucking
top three. Don't get crazy.
He's not
well, probably not top three.
I enjoy it, but no.
Well,
H2
I mean,
all
actually,
day,
realistically,
H2.
Yeah.
I love
you could get
too.
Top, yeah.
Hey,
well, top four.
Horror Hounds.
2018 and
you.
Two would be in there.
It's definitely in the top 13.
Is that Horror Hounds the one in September, bro? That's what you're talking
yeah.
about. All right, cool. I'm gonna. All right, I know what I got. Two more things for you. So when I send you that Funhouse shit, right?
I gotta take a crap. So
listen, I gotta get a fucking
cigarette.
I've been
brewing this whole fucking conversation.
Listen, this is all from that Rick Dude's collection. I'm not gonna use it. So this is a public promotion from Dawn of the Dead.
Wow.
Don't know if you're a fan.
All
right, advertising press sheet. Dawn of the Dead. This is all old. OG, bro.
Oh, that's rad.
Oh, dude, this thing opens fucking four ways, bro. It goes open again. I mean, there's a whole nother, it's a whole big ass thing. Night of the Living Dead, you with that as well? Boom.
Of course. Yeah.
All right, it's all headed your way, buddy.
Oh, wow.
Well,
Damn it, bro.
I wish I had something to say.
Don't
send
Quinn anything. Quinn don't want nothing.
I need to expand my collection.
Listen,
but, I'll do my own
Quinn's
things.
Quinn's got
it's all
some
right.
Bob Burns shit coming, all right? You know, I got some Bob Burns shit over here for him. So,
yeah, I mean, Well, I still got to do that sculpt for Sean. You know, I still got to sculpt your face to do that custom
one
mask.
More thing.
You know, I'm still interested in
this. I don't know what this is. This Poltergeist original.
That's rad.
Oh,
it's like this looks like a press.
Had it your way, buddy. It's all from that Rick dude, bro. I got no room.
Did you buy his whole collection?
All right, bro. We'll do this quick. So I went to this is fucking crazy, bro. Right. So I go to this flea market out here. Fucking literally nothing there. There's like six vendors, dude. And there's this guy named. He'll laugh. His name's I call him One Leg Randy. Or he's got
one leg Randy. Yeah.
Yep, so whatever. I meet this guy and he's got this collection. He goes, yeah, this dude passed away and you know his nephew put up all the shit online. And I looked into this guy, dude. I'm talking hand in hand with that. Dude, you Landon or Lee, whatever the guy you mentioned.
Landon Lee.
Yeah. Dude, I'm talking, bro. This fucking guy, he ended up dying because horror took over his whole life. This guy's house, bro. Fuck storage units, right? There's no storage units. This guy's entire house was fucking, you know, they had to call in companies, bro, to come get this shit out. It was all dusty, fucking. The guy ended up just dying from not taking care of himself. But, I got all his footage, bro, all his videos from the 90s conventions, the 2000 conventions, and I got, I mean, everything in here, bro. Literally every TCM, these are all autographed. That's the original envelope from Gunner. I mean, all the lobby cards, bro. Just everything.
All that stuff came from his collection?
Yeah, bro.
Brett has, from Rick Balin, he has the last footage of Bob Burns before he took his own life.
I do.
Before he took his life. Which
is Cinema Wasteland?
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, what was that? It was Cinema Fucking Wasteland, yeah.
So incredible.
So Chase Anderson, not a fan of the guy. You probably know him, whatever.
I know Chase, yeah.
All right, not a big fan. He tried to wanted to get all that footage from me, and I just wanted to keep it public, man, to the people, you know, and share it and stuff like that, and wanted my lobby cards. He was in connection with Rick's nephew as well. Rick's nephew, I'll just be brief with you. I'm not going to hate on the guy, but what, long story short, Rick passed away. Chase reached out, said, hey, I'm opening a museum. We're going to dedicate this entire area to your uncle. Rick's nephew sent in everything, bro. All the expensive, the German posters, the fucking London, like all the big name. Fucker sold it all. Never opened a museum. Chase sold it all, bro. You know, that's all I can say about it. He sold it all. He never opened a museum. Just profited off this shit. And Rick's nephews, you know, were disappointed, man, when it was supposed to be a dedicated thing. And he gave him thousands and thousands of dollars worth of, you know, shit you can't.
He just gave it to him?
He gave it to him. He told him, hey, we'll give it to you as long as you're going to fucking, you know. So, yeah, whatever, bro. Like I said, it is what it is. Like you said, business in the industry, you know, I hate him, like him, you know, it doesn't matter. Shit happens. But
my perspective on Chase Anderson, though, and I need to get that out there, though, because I can keep personal things, you know, like that. But in my perspective, I'm a replica artist, right? Chase Anderson, I can't have any bad opinions on the dude. You know, I can't involve myself in any drama that happens like that because he's the IP manager. He can destroy everything I do, but he tolerates what I do and how I make my replicas. And, you know, I've met him and he's polite in person, but, you know, anything that's drama, you know, unfortunately revolved in something, you know, Brett or Rick Balin's.
I wouldn't sell him the rest of the shit, Sean. I wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah. But, you know, I have to stay out of that, you know, because I love what I do. It's my livelihood. Yeah. And it would be an absolute crushing blow to get a cease and desist in the mail. Holy shit.
Here, you ever see this? I got The Rock in there. I'm not pulling that out, but. This was in his collection, too. This was Rick's idea. He told Gunner to, hey, go fucking pick some rocks up at the house. Boom, boom, boom. But, yeah, so I got that in there on display. And, dude, when I tell you, bro, you don't understand. I have, give or take, 200 autographs from Gunner here from this fucking Rick Balin. Just boom, boom. And they're all to Rick, the biggest fan, Rick. But, yeah, all this stuff I'm going to send you, all this is all in his collection, bro. I bought everything, man. So,
I'll send you my
shoot
mailbox
me
right now while I'm thinking about it, or I'll forget.
Yeah, get me that.
And
whatever. I mean, what's the best way to reach out to you? Instagram or email, or what are you fucking?
Instagram, like I always respond right away.
Yeah, I appreciate that, buddy.
Shit, unfortunately, that's not going to be able to happen for me. I mean, Meta cracked down on my ass. They took down my profiles. I had a big ass Instagram page.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, they cracked down on me. They completely took down my page. They didn't give me any reason. They banned my IP on Instagram, so I cannot have Instagram anymore. So I'm only on Facebook now, unfortunately.
You don't know why?
No, they didn't give me a reason. And then I made another account completely different. And this is how I figured I was an IP man. I made it with Outlook.com. They banned it in 2 days.
Well, they do. They check profile pics and all that.
Whatever. It's just such a pain in the ass. And God damn it. It just, it crushed me. I didn't want to do, I was seriously at that point, I was thinking like, I reached an all time high with the other account and everything. Like, I'm feeling like, you know, at this point, I'm just going to, and I didn't have my artistic abilities at that point. I was losing them. So I'm like, shit, I might hang up the paintbrush.
That's original, dog. That's a piece of jerky from Rick's collection. Gunner signed it. Yeah. Rick.
That's gross.
I've had offers to eat it and whatever, but.
You get that one dude that eats all the old stuff on YouTube to do it.
Bro, fucking ass.
He'll do it.
LA Beast, yeah.
Is that him? The guy that always throws up?
That's me and my best friend, like anytime he comes over, we'll stay until like 2 in the damn morning watching him throw up full hot dogs and shit.
It's crazy you bring that up. Yeah, it makes me think about something, you know, these like YouTubers, you know, like YouTube stars or whatever, they don't realize how quickly their livelihood could just disappear
instantly, bro. Yeah.
I mean, all these people that are making careers on YouTube, if anything changes, I mean, all it takes is YouTube to decide that they're no longer going to allow videos to be monetized or anything can happen. And they take that away. Those guys are going to have to get real jobs.
Yeah, they don't know how to. That's the problem.
Yeah.
All right, listen, this dude's got to take a shit. One quick fucking thing. What do you know about All-American Massacre, motherfucker? I know you got to know something hidden that we don't know. Do you know anything? Have you heard anything? Have you fucking dug into it? I mean, is there any fucking, is it real? Is it fucking the footage there? You know, like.
I mean, I don't know how much of it they made, but I knew that I used to be friends with the guy who played Chop Top in All American Massacre. He passed away like a couple of years ago.
Wow.
And he had told me, you know, that it happened and I'd seen pictures and stuff, but
the footage is
his name is escaping me at the moment. He was an effects artist. I have some of his work actually. He and I did lots of trades back in the day.
Bro, I know there's footage, fucking trailers or something sold on eBay or an auction site.
Entire film, Brett. I think they had the entire film and they sold it because they finished the film.
Done or what?
But yeah, it's in a private collection and nobody knows where it is right now.
Steve Merlo did a fucking documentary on that shit. Did like a video looking for that footage and he couldn't fucking find it, man.
Yeah.
Let me see.
All American Massacre, man. Fucking.
I'm trying to.
Would have been interesting. Would have been interesting.
His name was Todd Bates.
Todd Bates. Okay.
Yeah.
Todd Bates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Todd Bates is Bob Sawyer, his twin brother.
Holy So Todd was a friend.
Wow.
He just suddenly passed. Like he was a young guy. I think he was elite my age or younger.
Wow.
But he was an effects artist and I still have my Hannibal Lecter mask he made me on display in my entertainment room. He made it from the actual molds from the original Silence of the Lambs.
Sweet.
Shit, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, listen, I need a cigarette. I'm gonna get you some shit to add to your collection for me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Brett, one thing.
What?
I'm going to take the opportunity. You know, Sean, you can absolutely shoot me down.
Okay.
But
no.
So, David, unfortunately, you know, the last time I saw him before Frightmare, it was when I was at his house taking all the pictures of the mask, and he gave me these pieces, right? Uh-huh. Piece from Hitchhiker's Pouch, and a piece from, this was a, from another piece that Bob Burns made as a commission.
Uh-huh.
And as I was taking all the pictures, I noticed on right here or this side, on the styrofoam head, there's a little chunk hanging on by a hair. I'm not asking you to do anything yet, but David was planning on giving me that piece. I have no problem paying for it.
I don't know what chunk you're talking about.
I don't know, but hey, if a piece shows up, the absolute dream of mine to have a little if nugget.
I'll tell you what, if a piece falls off and it's on the ground, I'll give it to you. I ain't pulling anything off of anything.
Oh, I'm not asking you to do that. Hell no. I'm not asking you to break nothing.
My man
off,
waited all stream to ask. I'm fucking dead. All right, bro. I'm gonna I'll let you go do that. I'm getting my smoke, and I appreciate it, buddy. As always,
all right,
like
guys.
Said, we'll chat again, brother. So
thank you so much. Dream come true.
Thanks.
All right, I'll see you.
Peace.